Welcome to Get Over It, the consciousness transforming podcast for exceptional 21st century living. We've got a show favorite back with us. We're going to be speaking with Christopher Vassy, ND. He's out of Switzerland, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Good Sugar, Bad Sugar, How to Power Your Body and Brain with Healthy Energy. And what a way to start off 2020, you know, having all of our ducks in a row, so to speak, and everything turning out just fine. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in physics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn, and you can like me on Facebook. My guest today, a very dear friend of the show, Christopher Vassy, ND, is a naturopath specializing in detoxification and rejuvenation. He is the author of several books, including The Acid Alkaline Diet for Optimum Health, Natural Remedies for Inflammation, Liver Detox, and Natural Antibiotics and Antivirals. He is out of Switzerland. He lives not too far from Montreux. And you can check him out at his website, and that's christophervassy.ch. christophervassy.ch. Welcome back, Christopher.
Yeah, hello, Monique.
Hi, I'm so glad to have you back. What an interesting book that you've written, Good Sugar, Bad Sugar, How to Power Your Body and Brain with Healthy Energy. You know, a lot of us think that we're paying attention to our sugar because there's so much in the news these days. But after reading your book, I discovered I didn't know anything. I mean, things I thought were good, not so much. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing what we're told here in the United States and then what really happens to our body, and then we're trying to figure out, well, what happened? Why am I so sick? And it seems like the bottom line, the underpinning issue is our addiction to sugar. So, Christopher, what is the role of sugar in our body?
Yeah, the role of the sugar is to give us energy. In fact, it's the fuel the body needs to function. Uh-huh. And it has been provided by nature for millennia through the fruits, sweet vegetables, honey, and grains. And human beings were happy with that. But uh-huh. since 200 years, the man has started to produce his own sugar. I mean by that the white sugar, refined sugar. And as we human beings, we like, we need sugar to function. We liked something sweet, to eat something sweet. Uh-huh. This white sugar is also sweet, so many people eat it and think it's the same thing as eating fruits, but it's everybody has heard about fake news, but there are also fake foods. And white sugar is definitely a fake food.
Hello.
Because a real food is a mixture of different nutrients. There are proteins, vitamins, minerals, fats, and so forth. But never only one of those nutrients. But white sugar is only sugar. It's 99.6% sugar. And the rest is a bit of water and a few traces of minerals, but so few that it doesn't count. So that's something which is much too concentrated. And when the body receives this fake food, he's in trouble because it cannot digest it as well as it should. It has not been planned by nature to use correctly white sugar.
So you talk about the white sugars being so bad for us, but everybody here in the United States, you know, they're consuming a lot of sugar. In your book, you talk about in 2017 that the average person here in the States was consuming 27 teaspoons of sugar a day. That can't be healthy for us.
No, it can't. And that's 126 grams per day in average. Mm-hmm. And that means that it's only an average. Some people are always already aware it's white sugar is not good and not eating any more of it. So some people eat more than 126 grams, maybe 150 or 200 grams. That is maybe 50 teaspoons. So that's much too much, of course. I've read somewhere that there was a doctor who said that if white sugar was now presented to the Food Administration in the U.S. to see if it would be accepted as a food, they would say, no, it's so bad, we cannot allow that. But it's already here for a long time, so it's in the habits of many people. And that's why it goes on being used, and with the harmful effect that many people are ill because of the excess of sugar they eat, but they're not aware of it. So they don't look that side, they don't act on that direction. And that's the aim of the book, to show people why white sugar is bad.
Okay, but you know, when I was reading your book, it seems like just about all types of sugar are bad. You list in your book 19 sugars that are bad, including what the consumer would call real sugar and synthetic sugar. So why is it, if, you know, the government basically knows that it's not healthy for us, that it's pushing all of these different sugars on us that are just killing us, in essence?
Yeah. The reason is maybe commercial, because sugar can be sold to many people, they eat a lot of it, and with time you can earn a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get people hooked on it because it's sweet, and human beings like sweet things because that's how they function. Mm-hmm. So it's a good market.
Okay. Well, we all basically know about white sugar, you know, and we've heard that it's, you know, good, bad, and different depending on what's going on. If you're diabetic, you're definitely you're told don't eat any white sugar, don't eat any fruit, don't eat any honey, just eat the xylitol, the stevias, and all of that. So the xylitol and stevia and all of those classes of sugars really good for us?
Well, in fact, they have a sweet taste, but they don't belong to the family of sugars. They're other kind of molecules. Some are protein-like or some other kind, but they have a sweet taste and a very sweet one. It can be 400 or 500 times more sweet than sweeter than white sugar. So that's why it's used. And but it's not always the best. Well, stevia is fine, but xylitol, for example, is without vitamin, without minerals. It's really not the best to use. In fact, we should not be using so much sugars, even more or less good sugars. I mean, between the whole sugar, which is the sap of sugar cane, which has evaporated, and then you've got all the sugar, the vitamin, minerals, and all that's the best you can have. Mm-hmm. And between that and white sugar, there are many different kinds of sugar which are more or less, which contain more or less vitamin or minerals depending on the process which were used. But as you said, there are 19 in my books, 19, and except the first one and a few at the top of all the others are bad because they're lacking too many vitamins and minerals.
Okay, so when you go to the health food store over here, they say, oh, don't get the white sugar, get the raw sugar, the organic sugar. Is that very good for us?
Yeah, raw sugar is fine because it's nearly the whole sugar. I mean, it's very rich in mineral and vitamin, so it looks like a fruit, and it's okay still. But when you go lower down in the different sugars, it's not so good. And I think in the first place, people should also realize that you can replace one sugar by another one which is better than another one. But in fact, we're eating too much sugar from the start. And I know people who never eat sugar and never add sugar to their drinks or to this and that. They live perfectly well. I mean, it's not a necessity. In fact, for millennium, we ate, human beings ate what they ate, and there were no white sugar or raw sugar and all that. It was only fruits, honey, and so forth. And it went, they survived. We can also survive. And we would survive much better because then we would not be ill. Because if you think of it, when someone doesn't always eat white sugar and 150 gram a day, he will be he is eating a food which has no vitamin and minerals, so he is not receiving what he should receive when he eats fruits, for example. With fruits, you have the vitamin and minerals. With white sugar, you don't have it. And as people who eat a lot of white sugar don't eat fruits or those other sweet foods, they are lacking in vitamins in the end. These people are lacking vitamin and minerals, and they will become ill because of that. That's one of the consequences.
That's a pretty devastating consequence. Now, in addition to white sugar, in your book you talk about white flour being detrimental to our bodies. Why?
Yes. Well, flour is also part of the sugar family, but it's in another form. It doesn't have a sweet taste, but it's made of glucose. 250,000 molecules of glucose together make starch. And starch is, when it is digested, it is broken down into separate glucose molecule, which has a sweet taste, and which can be used by the body as sugar. But when we usually, well, in the past, when people ate some grains, wheat grains, for example, they ate the whole grain, and all the vitamin and minerals which are at the surface of the grain were included in what they ate, or in the flour which they produce with it. But here again, 200 years ago, man has produced a special way of producing flour, to process flour, and it gets rid of the surface of the grain where the vitamins and minerals are, and therefore people who are eating white rice or white flour or white bread or white pasta, they are eating a food which is a fake food also, because it seems to be a food, but in fact it's not, because it's lacking of the vitamin and minerals it should bring. And those are foods which are, I mean, bread, pasta, and so forth, are things we eat daily, which is a basic kind of food. But this basic food is not bringing us what we need, only a part of what we need. The sugar part, but not the vitamins and minerals. And that's a source of, it brings people to have a great lack in vitamin and minerals. And as we probably all know, is that vitamin and minerals are absolutely indispensable for the body to be able to work correctly, to repair, to grow, and so forth. So many different kind of illnesses can arise when there is a lack of those nutrients.
So talk to us for a moment about mulch grain bread, because, you know, I'm a vegan, you know, the doctor will say, mean, white bread, wheat bread, we'll talk wheat, but he's saying eat multi-grain bread. Your book is...
Excuse me, the sound is getting bad. It's kind of swinging.
Okay.
Can you start again?
Yeah. Talk to us about multi-grain bread. Multi-grain bread for us?
No, it's the same now. I can't really understand what you're saying. It's kind of distorted.
How's this? Is better?
Yes, maybe.
Okay. Talk to us about multi-grain bread. How does...
No, it's not better, in fact.
Interesting. Okay. That's not going to work.
Well, now it's okay when you're talking like that.
Okay.
Were you too close to the microphone? Or?
No, I haven't moved. Okay, so let's see, we can...
Now it's okay.
Okay, so let's just be quiet for a moment. So I'll over to edit, and then we'll start. Okay, so talk to us about multi-grain bread. Is that really good for us?
Sorry? I didn't get that, sorry. Well, now I can't hear you.
Okay.
Now it's okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. What about multi-grain bread? Is that really good for us?
Well, multi-grain is a bread made with several different kinds of grains, wheat, rice, and so forth. But it doesn't mean it's whole flour.
Mm-hmm.
The flour can be white flour, refined flour. With added grains, but those grains represent only part of the bread. The most part is the white flour, so it's not as good as it could be if it was a whole bread with different kind of grains.
Okay. Now, what about sprouted wheat flour? Is that healthy for us?
that's good because... when a grain sprouts, it multiplies the amount of vitamin and enzymes it contains. So it's much richer than an ordinary grain. That's a good flour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you were trying to really get off of the white flours and all of that, what about almond flour? And here in the United States, is a big deal, especially with the keto diet. Is the almond flour healthy for us?
Yes, because almonds are good for us. It's full of minerals and vitamins, so
mm-hmm.
that's fine. And I think other people who have a problem with gluten will avoid the other kind of grains, and they can use almonds. That's good, yeah, fine.
Okay, great. Well, folks, we're speaking with Dr. Christopher Vassy. His book is Good Sugar, Bad Sugar, How to Power Your Body and Brain with Healthy Energy. And we all need that in this day and age, especially beginning 2020. Why not start off the year on the right foot with, taking a full accounting of our health and moving forward with our health. Now, Christopher, you talk about in your book fast sugar versus slow sugar. Are you referring to the GI index?
No, it's something, in fact, different.
Oh, okay.
Some sugars are light fuel. They are the mono and disaccharides, that is glucose, levulose, and so forth, galactose.
Mm-hmm.
They are molecules which are one molecule at a time, which is in the fruits, in the vegetable. I mean, there are many of those molecules, but they are not linked one to the other. And therefore, they are easy to digest. They digest quickly, and they are available very quickly, and they come into the... When they are digested in the intestine, they will come in the blood easily and quickly. But there's not much of it, and it is quickly burnt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what is called... a fast sugar. It's fast
okay.
because it's fast in the blood and it's used very fast, quickly also.
Uh-huh.
Now the starch is different, or maybe I should have said those fast sugars are to be found in fruits, vegetables, honey, and so forth. But now starch, as we have seen, are a group of molecules, glucose molecule, 250,000. that you can find in cereals, grains, potatoes, leguminous, chestnut, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, of course, pasta and everything you build with, you produce with grains. But these are slow to digest because they're complicated, they're long chains of molecules. They take long to digest, so they enter progressively in the blood, mm-hmm. and therefore the body receives sugar progressively all through the day. The effect of those slow sugars is that the person receives sugar for a long time, they come in slowly, they are burned slowly, and so forth. Just the opposite from the others. So usually we eat both kinds of sugars, but some people refuse to or don't want to or not, don't eat enough of the slow sugars. So they function essentially on fruits, vegetables, honey, and so forth, which are quick sugars. But if they are quickly used, they have to eat the whole time to give more sugar to the body. If you take slow sugars like cereals, pasta, and so forth, they give you energy for a long, long time, and that's why one has to take such sugars also. But by using cereal grains, which are whole grains, not refined, and not white pasta, but complete pasta, and so forth. So.
Okay. Now, we talked, you know, I mentioned I'm diabetic, and, you know, I think everybody knows that diabetes is one of the diseases produced by sugar. What other diseases are caused by the bad sugars?
Well, what I've mentioned before is that the person can lack, it can be a vitamin or mineral deficiency, and this can give birth to many different kind of illnesses. But then there's also the fact that the that the white sugar is difficult for the body to digest, and the transformation of the sugar into energy stops, goes through different steps, and these steps are, in these steps the sugar is transformed in something which is acidic, in acids. And when it is white sugar, the body lacks vitamin enzymes to transform the sugar completely, and instead of giving energy, it stops somewhere in the middle and gives acids. So eating white sugar is a very powerful way to get very acidic, which is very bad also, as we have to have a balance in the body between acids and alkaline substances. Sugar is very acidifying, and when someone has a lot of acid in the body, well, the pH of the body is modified, and the enzymes, which are responsible for all the biotransformation in the body, cannot work anymore. So that can give a lot of trouble. But acids are also very aggressive. They attack the tissues. They can cause many inflammations, like joint inflammation, or if they attack the teeth, so teeth cavities and so forth, or the skin, then eczema and different. So, well, that's one of the other drawbacks about white sugar. It can make the terrain very acidic. But there's another kind of toxin which is produced by the white sugar. It's something which is like phlegm. It's something a bit thick and like a glue, and it will accumulate in the blood and make the blood thicker. And therefore, it will not circulate as well. And so it's probably the same in the USA as in Europe. Many people nowadays are taking a blood thinner because their blood is too thick. But the blood is too thick because of too much white sugar and fat also, of course, and so forth. But white sugar. So that these people who have a poor circulation, these toxin will deposit on the walls of the arteries and so forth. There will be distensions, that is, varicoses, obstructions at the worst, then heart attacks, strokes, because they are caused by the obstruction of vessel. White sugar contributes, and white flour contribute to make the blood thicker and lead to all those problems, circulatory problems.
Okay, so is it true that if we take care of the blood and we keep our body, excuse me, more alkaline,
yeah,
are we able to prevent some of the horrendous diseases?
Yeah, we can prevent many diseases that's on which people are suffering nowadays, because all the skin, joint problems and energy problems are very often related, and the immune problems, allergies, are in relation with a lack of, with a loss of the alkaline acids, alkaline balance.
Okay.
And it seems, but it just seems a bit simple. You change your food, you have a balance, acid alkaline balance again, and many illnesses go. In fact, it's very simple. You don't have to study much. You just have to eat differently. And that's really wonderful, I think.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to ask you. What do we eat? I mean, you know, we're here in America, we're so used to fast food and, you know, maybe foods that you eat in a restaurant that are not healthy for you. So what can we eat to bring our body back into that acid alkaline balance that we need?
Well, we have to eat good foods. I mean, natural foods, the foods that nature offers us, and to use them in a way which is very close to the form in which it is given. We can cook some the foods, of course. We can make them ferment to have cheese and so forth. But it has to stay very close to the state in which nature gives it. So the foods we should eat are fruits, that is, but food without added sugar, fresh foods or dried foods or fruit juice without sugar, added sugar, and can be vegetable. All the vegetables are good, all are healthy, all the kind of grains are healthy, basically, except for people who have a problem with gluten or something. That's good. Potatoes, leguminous, honey, well, that's already, and of course, milk and cheese, fish, a little meat, not too much. It's all question also of how much you eat. Meat is considered by some people to be very bad, but we are used to it, and it's okay if you don't eat too much of it. But, of course, if you eat too much, then it's another question. So that's the natural food. If we eat natural foods, we can come back to health. And it's good for the acid-alkaline balance. But if someone has diabetes or has also any kind of other illnesses, they have to come back to the natural foods. But I think in the USA, you have many people are aware of it and getting organized to have those foods which are healthy.
Yeah, it's slowly but surely coming along. Now, the one shocking thing, Christopher, that I read in your book was that a lot of sugar can affect our mental health. We can develop cognitive disorders. We can develop emotional disorders and then have a dependency on sugar. Talk to us about that.
Yes. Well, I've got to talk about hypoglycemia. To be healthy, full of energy, we have to have about 1 gram of glucose in the blood. That's what is called glycemia. And when we are in hypoglycemia, we don't have 1 gram. It's just a bit below. And if it's 0.8 instead of 1, we're at the limit, and then we become tired, we have no energy, and no drive, we're not happy anymore. And that's because we lack sugar in our blood. But this can be this is caused because someone has not eaten enough, or was very stressed, or had too much physical exercise, and burnt his reserves of sugar, which the reserve which are in the body. But there's another, that's the most common hypoglycemia. But there's another kind of hypoglycemia which is called reactive hypoglycemia. And to explain this, I've had to say that when we eat bad sugars, so white sugar, it goes out of the intestine into the blood very, very quickly, and it raises the glycemia of the blood very high and quickly. It passes from 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5 grams, 6 grams, and that's much too much, and the body will react to get rid of all the sugar in the blood. And to do this, the pancreas will secrete insulin, and that will lower the level of the sugar in the blood. But now, some people who eat white sugar all the time, the pancreas has to react in a very fast and quick way, and with time it becomes very sensitive and overreacts when bad sugars, white sugar, comes into the blood.
Uh-huh.
It becomes very sensitive. It doesn't start out of the blue. It's for people who have abused, overeaten white sugar. And therefore, each time they eat white sugar, straight away the pancreas will secrete too much insulin, and it will bring the level of the blood not to one. Well, if someone has 6 grams of sugar in the blood and the insulin is secreted, it will go down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then it should stop there. But those people who overreact, they will have more insulin, and it will bring the level of the blood lower to 0.6, 0.5, and the person finds himself in a hypoglycemia crisis. He's got no energy because he's got no sugar in the blood, and he feels really bad, anxious. He can't think anymore, can't concentrate. He can panic. He doesn't understand what is happening to him, what he can do. He's in a depressive state, and it's horrible. And to get out of this state, these people know, if I eat sugar, I will feel better. But if you take again white sugar, the glycemia will go much too high, and the pancreas will overreact, and therefore the people will feel better just a little time, a moment, I mean half an hour to 1 hour, because the sugar level has risen again. But because of the secretion of insulin, the glycemia will go down, and the person will find himself in hypoglycemia again, well, as I said, 1 hour later. And here again, he's depressed, full of anxiety. He can't think anymore. His heart is beating quicker, and so forth. And it can go on the whole day, because each time the person is in such a state, he eats wrong sugars, white sugar, or chocolate, or things which have... And the glycemia goes up and down the whole day, and instead of being a gentle curve which stays horizontal all the day. So these people really suffer a lot, and they are always eating sugar, and people around them cannot understand why, how can they eat so much sugar, because they've just eaten a whole bar of chocolate, for example, and here again they're hungry for sugar. Well, 1 hour after. But the reason is that the pancreas overreacts. And it's a terrible state to be in. But the solution to the state is very easy. It's very simple. It's to stop eating white sugar and to start eating good sugars. Because when someone eats fruits or cereals and so forth, the sugar rises slowly in the blood, and the pancreas will not overreact. So it's just suppressing the cause, the error the person has done, which can cure him. There's no need to fetch a special medicine or remedy or plant, or doesn't exist. It's just to eat again correct sugars that nature gives us.
Okay, just paying attention to what you put in your body. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Christopher, in your book you talk about foods with hidden sugars, and I was blown away when I read that hamburger has sugar? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us more.
Well, as I said, human beings like something which is sweet because we function with sugar. And to sell more biscuits or soups or hamburgers or different things, if a little sugar is added in it, not too much, sometimes you can feel it, sometimes you can't, but the person is happy, there's sugar, and people will eat more of those foods. But it's just a little sugar in all sorts of different kinds of foods. It's hidden. You cannot really see it, but it adds up because it's white sugar. It's not whole sugar, of course. So it adds up to the sugar, the white sugar the person will be using himself. I mean, the sugar he puts in his coffee or in his biscuit he's baking and so forth. So it's hidden, but it adds, with time it adds, and it's part of the over-consumption of bad sugars.
Okay. What about coconut sugar? That's something that is really catching on here in California. Is that healthy for you?
Well, as people like so much sugar, different kind of substitutes have been looked for, and there are natural sweeteners besides the whole sugar. And those are products which are taken in nature, and as you've just coconuts, something in the flour is very rich in sugar, and it can be extracted. It still contains a lot of vitamin, minerals, and so forth, so it's healthy sugar. But it's concentrated, there's quite a lot of sugar in it. But in the same kind of products, there's maple syrup or blackstrap molasses, date syrup, and so forth. They all are good foods because they are, or good sugars, because they are not only sugar, they are sugars with protein, vitamins, and so forth, other nutrients. So they're healthy, but they are concentrated. I mean, like maple syrup is 69% sugar, with good sugars, but even so. And black strap molasses, 39, and so forth. So it's good, it's healthy, one can use them. But if someone uses, over-consumes them, he's still in the eating too much sugar. It's they are concentrated. They are not real food. They are concentrated products from food. Not unhealthy, but one should not abuse.
Okay. And in the book, you also talk about dehydration and how dehydration can be one of the causes of having too much sugar or sugar craving.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's in the last chapter of my book. I talk of three different things which can push people to eat sugar, because that's the great problem people are facing. They crave for sugar, they want sugar, and they eat too much sugar. And it can be a lack of sugar, as we've seen, or it's more the main cause is that people eat white sugar, which pushes them to eat more sugar because of what I've explained before. But there are other causes which push people to eat sugar without sugar being involved, and that is dehydration. To function, the cells and the enzymes which transform all or to produce energy and so forth must be surrounded by enough water when they are in the tissues. I mean, enzymes have to have a surrounding, an environment which is liquid. And if someone is dehydrated because the person doesn't drink enough water during the day, the enzymes are lacking water and they cannot produce enough energy. So the person will be tired, feel a lack of energy, and think, I'm lacking sugar. And he will start eating sugar, and in fact, sugar is not the problem, it's the lack of water. So it's good to know, because then it's the solution is to drink more water and to rehydrate the body, and the person will find his energy again. And that's something which, when I suggest to people, you're not drinking enough, you should eat, drink so much, and they start drinking well, those 2.5 liters a day, this usually what they say, oh, the first thing I could feel was I had much more energy. Just with water, without not sugar, just water. It feels the body needs water, and to help have more energy, this is a way to do it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that we should drink 2.5 liters a day?
Yes, yeah.
And that doesn't matter what size you are?
Well, maybe, yes, of course it did, yeah. It's an average, yeah, it's an average, yeah. And it depends also what you eat. If someone eats no food, no vegetable, which are in fact made of a lot of water, they have to eat more, drink more. And if someone works in a very hot surrounding where he sweats a lot, well, he has to drink more, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so what advice do you have for the person who's listening right now who's saying, okay, I get it, I'm eating too much sugar, but they're munching on a candy bar while they're listening, and they want to get off, but they don't know where to begin. What would be a beginning step?
Well, a beginning step would be to read my book, Good Sugar, Bad Sugar. But then the first step is, there's a whole practical part in my book which shows how to change. First, they should, instead of eating chocolate and sweets and candies and so forth, they should start to eat fruits and fresh or dried fruits. You know, dried fruits, if you eat dates or raisins, it's very, very sweet and it has a good taste. They just have to get used to it again. And with that, with eating good sugars, they will slowly, but they must make an effort at the beginning because,
Change but is then, not necessarily that easy.
One has to make an effort and to repair the errors, but quite quickly. I mean, it doesn't take years. It's a question of a week, 2, 3 weeks. The person gets used to using other good sugars, and the craving for that sugar diminishes, and it's much lower. And in the end, the people, when they try again candies, and they say, oh, no, that's much too sweet. It doesn't agree with me. I don't like it anymore. But one has to change, make the efforts to change for a certain time to get to not be used anymore, to get rid of the habit of eating bad sugars. So that's with sweet foods which have a sweet taste. But we also talked about grain starch. If we eat whole grains, whole rice, brown rice, or whole flour breads or pasta and biscuits, it's a great step because we're not eating white flour anymore. And here again, one has to get used to it. The taste is different, the texture different. Some people, for example, will say, oh, I've tried whole rice. It's not good. It's much too hot. Well, it's much too hot, but probably certainly because they didn't know how to cook it. Rice is soft as the other, but you have to cook it correctly. Mm-hmm. And other people say, oh, I don't like the taste. But if they change for a few weeks, then when they try again white rice, they say, well, no, that's true. It's not so tasty as I thought. It's better to have whole rice and or whole pasta and so forth. It's a question of changing. But also another piece of advice I would like to give is that when someone starts eating whole flour bread or pasta or rice, he might not like it at the beginning. He'd say the texture, the flavor is not good, and it can be true. I mean, I like brown whole rice, but I don't like all of them. There are different kinds, and if one doesn't agree with me, I'll look in another shop, other kind of brand, to find one which has a good taste. And you always find one, and pasta the same thing, because it's natural foods and we are made to eat natural food, so it's good for us. Nature would not produce foods which are horrible and that we have to eat because we would never eat them. To make us eat them it gives a good taste to the foods we have to eat.
Okay. Well, folks, we've been speaking with Christopher Vassy. He's a naturopath. His latest book is Good Sugar, Bad Sugar, How to Power Your Body and Brain with Healthy Energy. If you are looking to improve your health now, or if you're thinking about it 6 months from now, this is definitely a book to get and read. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. It's not scientific-y at all. And there's even a little quiz in there so you can check to see how hyper or hypo, I'm not sure which one, glycemic you are, so that you have a starting point, if you will, and then you can build upon it. And remember, Rome wasn't built in a day, so you're not going to change your eating habits in a day, but they can change. Christopher, what words of wisdom would you have for our audience before we go today?
I would say that we human beings, we have produced many foods and changed nature, and we are stronger and more intelligent than nature, but we are seeing it in many fields. We are not clever than nature, be it in the respect of nature or the food we eat. We cannot decide to eat differently than what nature has planned for us to eat. We have to eat what nature gives us, and that's what I would suggest, that people come back to natural foods, which you can find nearly everywhere nowadays. Natural foods, whole food, not refined, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It seems maybe not enough, or some people like to take remedies, medicine, but it's much more efficient to eat well, because then you don't even get ill and you don't have to take remedies.
Okay. Well, thank you, Christopher, for being with us and sharing your information. You're such a wealth of information. And, folks, you can check him out at his website, and that's
ch.
Thank you, because I'd gone away from it. So ChristopherVassey.ch, ChristopherVassey.ch. While you're there, do check out his other books. He's been on the show, I think this is his third time. So if you go back to the archives, you can listen to the other shows that I've done with him. And then you can also buy other books that appeal to you, because this is truly the year to be healthy, especially with the government trying to cut health care and all of that. We've got to take our health on ourselves. So, Christopher, thank you for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much. And another time.
Welcome. Yes. And to the audience, I'm grateful for you, and I truly appreciate your time and attention. And when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of putting in good sugars and getting rid of bad sugars and having excellent health. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.